In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus glorifies faith. He does not say to the leper, "I have healed you," but "your faith has made you well." Now, of course, Christ is the one who healed him, but he says it this way to urge us to boldly follow the example of this leper and to trust in Christ with all our heart. His word must be received in faith. All 10 were healed, but only one received that healing in faith. The 9 were healed in body only, but that Samaritan was healed in body and soul. All 10 believed that God had healed them, but only one believed that Jesus was the Son of the living God. But there's more than that. It's not enough to simply believe that Jesus is God. The demons know that. Judas believed that. So true and saving faith believes that Christ will give us only good things in this life and in the life to come. In other words, he must be merciful to you. He must bless you. He must be good. He must help. He must be gracious to you. He can do nothing else. Our faith holds to the word of God as true and right, regardless of what it experiences. So he will never be harm. He will never harm us, be harsh or cruel. He will never be mean or overbearing or give us too much. He will never get back and punish us for anything that we have ever done, because Christ himself bore the full weight of your punishment on the cross. He spilled his blood to reconcile you and God. He is the atoning sacrifice that has taken away the sins of the world, the ladder uniting heaven and earth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Faith will not be moved from this gracious God who unconditionally loves. That is saving faith, expecting all good things from this God. And this faith leads to boldness. It flees to Christ even as the lepers went to Christ. For it knows of no other peace than the peace of his cross, no other comfort than his word of absolution and life, no other hope than eternal life. Faith won't put on a show trying to earn God's favor. Faith knows exactly what the flesh is by nature. How leprous, how sinful, horrific, and ugly it can be. And yet still faith goes to Christ, confident that he will hear because he himself has promised so. Faith opens up its mouth to bellow, urging Christ to answer us in mercy, because Christ himself is the one who has promised, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me." And so faith expects Christ to act accordingly. Christ did not cleanse these men with his touch right then and there as he had done for so many lepers before. He makes them wait. He lets them linger in their sickness for a little while longer. He tests them so that they must live by his word and not by what they see clinging to their bodies. So faith must be rooted in the word of God and not in what we see. Experience will deceive us. Experience will tell us that God is far away from us, that he doesn't care about us, that his word does nothing, his sacraments are not beneficial, or worse, experience will tell us that God is actually against us, punishing us for what we have done. But as a loving father directs all his attention toward the child he is disciplining, so also God directs all his attention toward us. When he appears to be farthest away, he really is nearest. When he seems to be against us, he really is for us. He lets our ailments and difficulties linger a little while so that we call out to him in faith. He tests us. He tests us to pull us away from our experiences and feelings and what we think is right, and to deepen our faith in Him. But why would He help me, you ask, when He knows my many failings? You believe that you're a sinner. Good. For that is what you are by nature. At times that sin hides, at other times that sin wrenches your very soul. If the blessed Apostle Paul, who had far more gifts of the Spirit than all of us combined, and who was one of the 12 foundations of the church itself, if he lamented that he did not do the good he desired to do, then why would it be any different for us? Many devils join our sinful flesh to assault our faith. At one time they tell us that God is lucky to have us because we are such good, upstanding, moral individuals. At other times they tell us that God can't possibly love us, and in fact he is punishing us for what we have done. Do you see how they direct our eyes inward? Do you see how they turn this loving, gracious God into a cruel taskmaster, a judge? They are powerful adversaries. What if the lepers had gazed inward at their own leprosy? What if they had been consumed and thought that Christ was a harsh judge who didn't want to help? They never would have called out to him for mercy. They believed that he was good and that he would give them good things. All 10 were healed, but then 9 became blinded by the devil and failed to see who Christ really was. Only one, a foreigner, a Samaritan, only he came back giving thanks and praise to God. So it is by grace that you are saved, not by your works. It is by grace that Christ forgives you your sins, not because you're trying to make it up to him. It is by grace that Christ has left you here on this earth. Whether you think it's too long or not, it is by grace that you are still here. It is by grace that Christ heals your body through medicine. It is by grace that Christ lets you live on this earth, not because you have finally figured out what you are to do. Your whole life, your very existence is one of grace. So live in that grace of God. When you feel your sin, when your experience tells you that you have failed, do not be silent. But like these lepers, cry out to Christ for mercy, for he must answer you. He must forgive you. He must be gracious to you. He must love you, because his tomb is empty. He is the one who has taken away your sin by his cross. And so he will help you in your hour of need. He has already, through the waters of holy baptism, purged your flesh of that sinful leprosy that still clung to it. You cannot deny that water touched your body, so you cannot deny that you have faith. You cannot deny that God is good and gracious to you. And faith has led you back here into God's presence this very day. You thank and you praise him, and he turns right around and he gives you this thanksgiving meal of his body and blood to deepen and strengthen your faith. Yes, the Lord is always good and gracious to you. And then he bids you to depart in peace. And you rise up from this altar, confident that he is loving, merciful, gracious, and compassionate, regardless of what your week may hold. He can be nothing else. You have eaten his body. You have drank his blood. He has spoken his word of life over you. And he has sent you on your way with his blessing. And so faith responds, Amen, Amen, Amen. Even if that faith happens to be as small as a mustard seed, it can move mountains and conquer nations, because this faith is rooted in and built on the word of Christ and receives all good things from Christ. It is faith that healed the leper. It is faith that saves you, because this faith keeps its gaze outward at Christ, that Lamb of God, the great high priest, who made the perfect sacrifice and who now lives to cleanse you with his blood. So as you depart in faith, you are cleansed and healed. His death has paid for the sins of all people, yet you have received that healing in faith. Faith alone expects God to be good and merciful to you this entire week, for faith alone clings to Christ, and Christ is always good. So it is faith alone that saves. So do you see how the Lord Jesus glorifies faith? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.